If you have a Bible, let's turn to 2 Chronicles, chapter 14 once again. We had started just real brief, but we had started to think about Asa in connection with our Christian life. That our Christian lives are not a sprint, they're a marathon. And we need to remember that. Now, I'm not suggesting you pace yourself and go slow because it's a marathon. I'm suggesting you run with all your might as fast as you can, as hard as you can every day. And you keep that up the next day and the next year and the next decade and continue until the very end. And he that endures to the end shall be saved. And the one that endures to the end and breasts the tape wins the prize. You know that they that run in a race, they all run, but then everybody wins the prize because not everybody runs enough or well enough to qualify for the prize. And I had mentioned that verse in Matthew 24 in the Olivet Discourse, I guess referring primarily to the destruction in the days before the destruction of Jerusalem. However, maybe there's a parallel also to the coming of the Lord. And we read there that because iniquity abounds, the love of NIV says most, or many shall wax cold. We don't want to wax cold. We want to endure to the end. We don't want to peter out. We want to, as the Apostle Paul admonishes us, we want to strain and run hard and breast the tape and win the prize. And he challenges people by his own life, first of all. And then in writing his epistles, he challenges those churches that he was writing to keep at it, to keep on, to keep going forward. More stern will grow the conflict, and maybe because of the sternness of the conflict and the abounding of iniquity, we can get tired. People can get tired. You can get tired. Asa got tired. And that's why we are looking at his life. But yesterday, I guess it was yesterday, we started and I just mentioned those first few verses. And if I could find them, Chronicles, it's in here someplace. The whitest pages of the Leviticus. Leviticus is probably better than that. But Chronicles, here we go. The beginning of his life, we had said, it's a marvelous beginning. And these Old Testament stories are parallels for our lives. And I think we followed that through pretty well yesterday. I think we understood right from the start that he did that which was good and that was right in the eyes of the Lord. And what's good and right in the eyes of the Lord starts with what?
Faith.
Not faith. Repentance. Thank you. Repentance. That's how we begin. We don't start on the second floor. We start at the bottom. And the first thing that we need to do is turn away from our sin. And as we heard again last night, not 360, but a 180. We renounce the old, the past, and we run for the new, and we embrace the new. We take off the old. Did you read that? I think in the staff guide or in the devotional. We take off the old. Put off. Put off what? Read the list. Put them off. Every day, keep them off. Don't put them back on again. You did a 180, and you're walking away from all those things that you took off. And put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and reckon that to be a finished thing. That's what Asa did. The first thing he did was repent, and he repented, and we see how his repentance was played out. He got rid of all the bad stuff. He got rid of all the detestable things that were lying around, the Asherah poles, the altars to this, and it says that he smashed them. That was good too. You don't just put it in the bottom drawer just in case. And just in case, you know, the weekend's coming. I got to have something to do on the weekend, some fun. So we'll read our Bible and pray every day, Monday through Friday. But the weekends are mine, Saturday, at least Sunday I go to church. But the weekend, Lord, help us to smash the idols. Don't keep them hanging around anymore. As we sang, and I think we referred to it yesterday, break down every idol, cast out every foe. And he did that. And then they began to seek the Lord. Well, that's good too. That's next. And over again, and it will continue throughout the story of Asa, to the very end, you'll find seeking the Lord, seeking the Lord. He sought the Lord. He sought the Lord. He sought the Lord. When does it ever end? Oh, thank you. Never. Never. It never ends. When did you stop seeking the Lord? Oh, when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then I stopped because I got what I needed. You better not stop. That's just the beginning. It's the open door. We don't stop anytime, any place, no matter how old we get. And we're going to find out, not now, not today. But Asa, after 36 years, that's a long time. Anybody here been following the Lord? Well, sure, many have for 36 years. But it's too soon to quit, even no matter how long it's been, 50 years, 70 years. I dare say there are people here that maybe have been following the Lord 80 years. You're not even that old. Some of you aren't even a third that old. But Lord, help me not to stop. No, I'm not me. I'm not, no, 80 years isn't my story. But Lord, help us not to stop. No matter where we find ourselves, he sought the Lord. And he taught everybody around him to seek the Lord. And so the Lord gave them rest from all the enemies around them because they sought the Lord. And he made hay while the sun shone. You know what that means? That means he bought up the opportunities in the good times when there was relative peace and calm all around to fortify the city of Judah, the cities of Judah, to fortify the nation and the kingdom. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. Why do I need to build myself up? Why do I need to buy the opportunities? Why do I need to seek the Lord while he may be found? Because you'll need him. You need him anyway, but there'll come a time where you'll face the enemy. You'll face a battle. You will guaranteed face many obstacles and many battles. And you will need to be fortified. You will need to stand in the evil day. You will need to have roots that go down. And what else did we say about the redwood trees? They go down only 5 feet, but they spread out laterally many, many feet. Then they intertwine themselves all with the other trees, those great big humongous things. It's not so much the roots that go down. Now, we want roots that go down. But we also want roots that go this way. And they intertwine with brothers and sisters in Christ. And we hold one another up. And we help one another to seek the Lord. And we admonish, encourage one another. And in love, we rebuke one another. In love, we rebuke one another. And I've never known anybody whose ministry that God gave them to do, I have a ministry of rebuking. Now, some people think they do. Their whole ministry is rebuking. That's all they do, rebuke, rebuke, rebuke. Because the Bible says I need to correct you, so I'm going to tell you the truth. Well, yeah, I know what the Bible says. But that's not really the emphasis, the way the Bible at least puts it. Speak the truth in love. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Measure your words. And the Bible teaches us that God corrects his own, disciplines them in love, but he does it, and we're so thankful for it. And so together we grow, and we go down and we go sideways, and that's what happens in these good times. That's what happens in these good times at camp. You know, maybe you're here fighting battles that I don't know anything about, and maybe there are multitudes of battles on the front here and there and everywhere. But when I come to camp, I leave a lot of stuff back home. And I try to leave a lot of the battles back home. There are always new sets of them going on. But Lord, thank you that I can put roots this way. I see people that I see maybe once or twice a year, and now I get to see you for a week or two on end, and we get roots this way. And they're strong. You don't have to see everybody all the time to have strong roots and strong connections with brothers and sisters in Christ. And in these good times, oh, God wants to, yes, down and sideways. And that's what they were doing. Asa was doing. And then it said, let's build. They built the towns and they did this and that and the other thing. Because we've sought the Lord our God. We sought him and he gave us rest on every side. And then we talked about the army that Asa had. And it was a puny army compared to armies around him, but it's mentioned how many he had. And I didn't call attention to it because there's just so much time that you have. But all these, it says at the end of verse 5, I think it is, all these were brave fighting men. I think all God's troops are brave fighting men. I really was scratching my brain trying to think of someone in the Bible who I could find who was of any note, of any use, any good. I was trying to think of those who were not brave fighting men. David, Joseph, Moses, Paul, the disciples after Acts 2. Brave. Brave to face the foe. Now, they never knew. And these people didn't either. What are we going to have to do? Are we going to have to go out and fight? Or are we going to have to go out and stand still? How are we going to beat this foe up? How are we going to win the victory? They never knew. It was different in different battles. God led them in different ways. And he still does lead us in different ways. But we need to, no matter who we are, become brave. Now, how do you get brave? How do you get brave in the conflict? Where does that bravery come from? We're timid, perhaps. We're shy. We're backwards. But how do we get bravery? Where does that come from? I heard the Holy Ghost and I heard the Lord. I guess that's the right answer. They're both the right answer. That bravery, everything comes from him. See, if you're going to be David going out to face Goliath, that wasn't David. David wasn't just some little kid that he either had no sense or he knew his God. And I think he knew his God. And his God made him brave. You remember David's mighty men? They came out. You read of them in this 2 Samuel 23. Am I right about that, Frank? 2 Samuel 23. I'm glad he's around, you know. I refer to him in church all the time. I look at him and that's right. Because I don't know what I'm talking about half the time, but I verify it with him before we go any further. Yeah, that you read that David's mighty men there. Brave men. I mean, they took on a multitude of people. One guy with the sword. All day long he was just cutting them up as they were coming out. One guy jumped in a pit on a snowy day. Well, that's brave because there was a lion in the pit. Now, I wouldn't jump in a pit if there's a lion. I wouldn't jump in the pit, period. But he jumped in on a snowy day to kill the lion. That's bravery. How does a person become brave? Well, because of God, the Holy Ghost, something from above, an anointing. And so these mighty men, they went out to face the foe. And before they went out to battle, Asa prayed. And this is where we left off. Asa prayed a wonderful prayer, and we read it in closing, but let me read it again, and then we'll go on from there. Asa called to the Lord his God. He said, Lord, there's no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this vast army. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. Did you get that last word? It's not, do not let man prevail against me, us. Lord, it's your name that's at stake. It's your name that we're honoring and glorifying. It's in your name that we're going into this battle, and it's for your name's sake that we're fighting. It's not all about you, believe it or not. It's not all about me and my. And how I feel about this and what I want and how I like or don't like. We're in this for the kingdom of God. For your great name's sake, dear Lord. Win the victory so that you may be glorified. When Elijah got on that hill, Mount Carmel, with prophets of Baal all around him. And he stood all by himself. You read his prayer in that chapter in Kings, and you'll find he says, Lord, it's for your name that these people might know that there is a living God in Israel. It's not about me. I want to be vindicated. I want the enemies to be destroyed because I want to be vindicated in my stand. And so I want fire to fall from heaven so that I can say I was right and you weren't right. I proved you wrong. It's all about me, isn't it? Elijah didn't think so. Lord, it's for your name. It's for your honor and for your glory. I'm not anything anyway because in spite of me, in spite of who we are, God somehow is able by his own divine spirit and anointing and ability and the limited capacity that we have, he's still able to use us. But it's not because of us. It's in spite of us. And Asa, he prayed like Jehoshaphat. How did these men know how to pray like this? They never, maybe they read from Solomon. Solomon, no, they didn't do that either. I was going to say maybe he read, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. Lord, we rely on you. We're not trusting in ourselves. He didn't even know that, but he did know God. And Asa, what a beautiful beginning. What an auspicious start. I'd like to have a start like that. I did. So did you. He saved you. When you repented, he brought you out and started to send roots down and sideways. He established your footing on that solid rock, Christ Jesus. And then there maybe came a battle or an enemy, but your first thought wasn't, now how am I going to whip the enemy? How am I going to do this? Your first thought was, Lord, I can't do this, and I don't know how to do this, but Lord, I'm trusting in you. I'm relying on you. I'm in need, Lord, body, soul, and spirit, for life and for godliness. Everything that I need is found in you, so why don't I go to you? Because you're strong and mighty, and you show yourself strong and mighty on behalf of those who put their trust in you. And all through it all through the whole story, and we're seeking you. We're seeking you. And so Asa, after he prayed, it says, the Lord struck down the Cushites. Those are the Ethiopian, those armies, that vast, it said, army. He struck them down. The Lord struck them down before Asa and Judah. The Cushites fled. Asa and his army pursued them. Such a great number of the Cushites fell that they could not recover, for they were crushed before the Lord and his forces. You crush the idols. You smash the idols and live for the Lord and seek him, and I dare say he'll crush the enemy. And that's the way he works. The enemy is no match for God or for the people of God. This is not a, you know, this is not a heavyweight bout where, I don't know, you know, he wins some rounds. The enemy is no match for the people of God who are filled with the Spirit of God. The gates of hell do not prevail against the church. Amen. Somebody said yesterday, boy, Sunday morning, that thought was the Christian church should be on the offensive. I said, well, what do you think we should be? Are we supposed to be hunkering down, hiding under? You ever have air raids when you were young? You don't have that in school, and you had to go under your desk. There might be a real one this time. And we went under the desk until the teacher said, okay, you can come up now for air. And then we did. We're not, the Christian church is not hiding under the desk. The Christian church doesn't go in the closet because everybody else comes out. The Christian church stays out of the closet and wins the victory and takes the kingdom. The violent take it by force, and the enemy is no match. And I'm talking about the truth of the kingdom of God. I'm talking about the righteousness of the kingdom of God. And I'm talking about the truth prevailing over the unrighteousness and wickedness that is all around us. But that takes men and women, brave, fighting men and women who are panoplied with the armor of God, not afraid to go out into the battle and face the foe, knowing that he that is in me is greater than the one that is in the world. So I don't have anything to fear. Lord, the enemy will not prosper against you. Against me, I might get the living daylights beat out of me, as they did in the book of Acts, when they went out to face the enemy, and the enemy beat them up and stripped them naked, and they ran out of the presence. Why? Because they weren't filled with the power of God. You can't just say the magic words. You can't just talk the talk. You got to live the life. You have to have what Asa had at the beginning of his ministry. So it goes out after the victory was won. They attacked the camps and the herds and carried off a lot of the spoilage. They took the stuff that remained and brought it back to Jerusalem. So now we're going to fast forward a lot of years. That was in about the 10th year or so. They had the time to build up and everything was going well. Now we're in the 16th year of the reign of Asa. Now, we can say, like the 16th year of our Christian experience. We've been walking with the Lord for a number of years, and I don't know where we are in the race, the middle laps. This could be the middle laps, depending on how old you're going to get. It could be just a third into or a quarter into the race out of 16 years. I'm sure there are people in this room this morning that have been following the Lord for 16 years, 15, 17, 14, whatever, something around that time. Now, you would consider, and I would consider, you are rather experienced. You're not a novice. By this time, you shouldn't be drinking milk anymore. You should be given something more solid than that. Your ear shouldn't be as dull as it was at the beginning. It should be more open and in tune with what heaven wants from your life. We're in this for 16 years. We're supposed to grow up. You remember Paul found people that, if it was Paul who wrote Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews found people, by this time you should be teachers. You're not teachers yet. What's the matter from you? You haven't grown up far enough yet. You're still dull of hearing. You're still babies in Christ. I would expect by now that you wouldn't have to just get the rudimentaries and the basics of the faith, but you should go on now and mature. Well, 16 years, I would think you should grow up and go on now and mature. Act like a 16-year-old, not like a baby. Stop crawling, start walking. And when you're 16, you're doing more than walking. You're running and you're jumping. Well, Asa now is in the 16th year. And it says the Spirit of God came upon some other guy. We read this before, too. Who are these guys? I don't know who they are either. I mean, you could maybe find a cross-reference. I didn't even try to. Azariah, the son of Oded. I don't know either. I don't know who he was. But again, as we made mention of it the other night, that I'm glad that the Spirit of God comes upon just the regulars. Not just the king, the one that was put in that position, but the Spirit of God wants to come, even in the Old Testament, not just in the New. The Spirit of God wants to come on Sister Dolores. The Spirit of God wants to come on Sister Way. The Spirit of God wants to come upon Deshaun. Why not? Why not? Well, because they're now, so what? You mean the Spirit of God can't come upon people that aren't in the full-time Christian? Of course the Spirit of God wants to come upon every one of you. And the Spirit of God not only wants to come upon you, but he wants to move you. He wants to, he makes me maybe shake you up and spit something out of your mouth every once in a while. Oh, Lord wants to speak to us. The Lord wants to talk to his people. And he doesn't only use the big mouth in the front. He uses everybody and anybody sitting wherever they are. If they're his, filled with the Holy Spirit, well, why not? And Azariah, and thank God in the Old Testament and in the New, but even in the Old Testament, thank God for those men that the Spirit of God came upon, and thank God for the words they spoke, because had they not spoken them, there would be victories that would never have been won. You go back to Jehoshaphat, remember? The Spirit of God came upon Benaniah, was his name, I think. I'm not sure. They came. I'm looking at you again. The Spirit of God came upon that guy, and he just told everybody what to do. And the king said, that's right, absolutely, let's go. Put the singers in the front. Worship the Lord as you go marching into battle. And the Lord won the victory. God's Spirit needs to come upon more of us. And God's Spirit needs to use more of us to speak words from heaven. Not your words. I don't care about your words. You don't care about mine. But God, can you give us your word? Could you put your word into our mouth? Could we speak your word? Yes. Yes, we can. Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa and he said, Asa, listen. Listen to me. And Asa and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you when you are with him. Oh, here it is again. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:12, if we deny him, he will deny us. He starts that passage with, this is a faithful saying. In one of the clauses, if we deny him, He will deny us. We talked about those even from the Bible. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present evil world. Here are these two guys. They made shipwreck of their faith. Oh, there are souls of men in Babylon, as we read on Sunday. The souls of men that would like to ensnare and encapsulate and trap. And the call comes there in Revelation, get out of Babylon, my people. Get out of Babylon. And hear the message of Azariah was, don't forsake. Well, I'm 16 years into this thing. What do you think I'm going to do now? Forsake the Lord? Impossible. No, not impossible. As long as you seek the Lord, impossible. You don't have to go around paranoid that you're going to lose your salvation today or tomorrow or the next day, because nothing and no one will pluck you out of his hand. Thank you, Jesus. There's a safe place. Praise God, I have found it, and so have you. But keep yourself in that safe place. Keep yourself in the hollow of his hand. Don't jump ship. Don't forget the pit that he dug you from. And don't forget that he took you out to bring you in. So you're not going to go back to Egypt, are you? You're not going to go back because, oh, there are leeks and garlics back in Egypt. You forgot the bondage. You just remembered the leeks and the garlics. But no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. If you, Azariah said, or the Lord said, if you forsake him, he's going to forsake you. But if you don't forsake him, and if you keep on seeking him, King Asa, well, you're going to keep finding him, and he'll keep fighting for you, and the blessing of the Lord will attend your life. And Azariah went on for a long time, or it says a long time, Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach, and without the law. But in their distress, they sought him, and he was found by them. In those days, it was not safe to travel around in Israel and in Judah, for all the inhabitants of the land were in great turmoil. Sounds like some of our major cities or some of our minor cities. It's coming to the suburbs near you. Afraid to travel. I wouldn't go out at night. I'll go out at night, but some people won't. And there are places to stay out of at night. I suggest you don't walk through Central Park after 3 a.m. It might not be as safe as it maybe never was. But there are great turmoil, it says here, in some of these cities. And one nation was being crushed by another nation, and one city by another, because the Lord was troubling them with every kind of distress. But as for you, that's them. You be strong and don't give up. The impure are going to be impure still, and it's going to get worse and worse. I don't know that this world is ever going to get better. Politically, sociologically, I don't know. I wish it would. I hope it does. I hope there's a real turning back to righteousness and godliness. I don't know that there will be. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And perhaps we're living in that day, in that time of no return. It's just going to, go into oblivion one of these days. And the wickedness comes up into the nostrils of God continually until he says, okay, it's enough. Like Sodom and Gomorrah, enough. I read sometimes the headlines of the news. I look at it usually online, and I don't read the stories. I don't want to read the stories. It's enough wickedness and rot to read the headlines of what goes on and what's tolerated and what's pushed and what comes forward. And Lord, is it going to get worse and worse? Could it get any worse than it is? But here you notice that God is troubling the people. Why is it getting worse and worse? You can blame a lot on the enemy and the devil, but you gotta give God some credit. If you don't seek Him, if you don't want Him, if you're all set about going in your ways, your pernicious ways, your wicked ways, it is going to continue to unravel. God gives people up to reprobate minds. And they just devise ways, it says in Romans 1. They try to figure out how we can become more wicked and more devious than we even are. Let's see if we can figure out another way that we can unravel what God has told us to be in the Word of God. Let's see if we can push the envelope even a little bit further down the road, away from the righteousness, away from the godliness. And if God's your enemy, the only one that can fix it is God. And I believe that in our country and in our land and, yeah, in our world, the only one that can fix it is God. That's why you're necessary and important. That's why the Church of Jesus Christ needs brave, fighting men and women that will be the salt of this earth, not salt in the salt shaker. It's fun to be in the salt shaker, where everybody loves one another and everybody gets along with one another and we're all in the same salt shaker together, but we're supposed to be sprinkled out into the society in which we live to keep the society from rotting even more than it does rot and decay. We're to be a light that shines in that darkness that's rampant all around us. That's our calling. Don't shy away from your calling. But stand true where He has put you and let the light shine from you. And so here we read the society was unraveling and all the nations there. And Asa heard these words. He heard the prophecy of Azariah, the son of Oded. And he took courage. He removed those detestable things from the whole land of Judah. Places that he hadn't gotten before, or maybe places that had developed these idols subsequent to the first year of his reign. You know, even Jesus had to do that. Remember, he went to the temple near the beginning of his ministry and he drove out the money changers, buying and the selling there in the temple. My house is a house of prayer. You guys have turned it into a den of thieves. And then 3 years later, and it's not the same story at the beginning of the gospel and the end of the gospel, 3 years later he goes back and the same temple is again desecrated with the same stuff. Somehow or other it got back in. Somehow or other the detestable things, the things that weren't pleasing to the Lord in the temple of God, had crept back in. Has that happened? I don't know. You tell me, has it happened to you? Or if it happens, how does it happen that we need to get back to and remove again? And Asa began to do it again. He captured the hills of Ephraim, and he had never gotten up there to remove the idols, but he did now. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was in the front of the portico of the Lord's temple. This is all in the 16th year. Keep at the weeds. Anybody ever weed a garden? Did you ever have to do it twice?
All the time.
Yeah, all the time. All the time. Because somehow or other, I don't know, the weeds come back. Poor Brother Bob. God bless Brother Bob. But he was here a few days last week. You know, he was having trouble walking around. Walked with that big stick. But there he is laying down on the ground, just inching his way up the walkway that leads to the right out here, pulling the weeds, he and his wife. His job was the path, her job was the flower beds, keeping after it. I saw him one day near the end of his tour of duty pulling weeds. He said, I'm not gonna make it. I'm pooped. I'm tired. I can't make it. He got all the way up the walkway to the front, and that little section to the left, he said, anybody else wants to take over, they got to go this far yet. And he left it. You can go finish his job if you feel like it, but there are just a few more left of those weeds. But how he kept on, keeping on, get the weeds out. Well, I got the weeds out already. Thank God the weeds are gone. Praise God. The weeds are gone. Where are they? They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. Yeah, but what happened? They came back again. They came back again, and I need to stay under the blood of the cross of Calvary. I need to be sprinkled afresh with that blood. Oh Lord, do you? Oh, I repented once. That's all I repent once. Once for all. Done. Finished. Been there. Done that. I don't know. How can you do that? You mean you never need to ask the Lord to forgive you this day? That's the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us this day our sins, our trespasses, as we forgive those who sin against us. So Asa's got to do it again. 16 years down the path. I'd say 106 years. I can remember Brother Edwin Waldfogel. As some of you don't know him, never met him, but he was kind of the guy, the man that I wanted to be like. I admired his ministry. I admired his walk with God. And I can remember him as an old man in his upper 80s. I could remember him until he was in his 90s, but in his 80s, he would preach. And after he would preach, he would be the first one to pray, Lord, do this in my life. Lord, take these things out of my heart. Lord, get rid of them. Show me the things of which I am unconscious. Lord, put your finger now upon my heart. Uncle Edwin, you're 88 years old, and you're a venerable saint of God that's been at it for years and years and years, but it's always too soon to quit. And there's still weeds that need to be taken out because for some reason I didn't get the root out altogether. And it rears its ugly head. And Asa gets back at it. I think that the story is just so appropriate for our New Testament Christian lives. And what Asa is doing here are things that you and I need to continually do all through our lives, not only in the 16th year, because as we'll find in the 36th year, he stopped doing it. That's another day at another time. Just one or two more verses and then we'll quit for this morning. But it says he kept at it and he repaired that and this and the other. In verse 9, he assembles all Judah together and Benjamin and the people from Ephraim and Manasseh and Simeon who had settled among them. Large numbers had come over to him from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. It says in Acts 4 of the disciples, people took note that these men, these unlearned and ignorant men, they knew nothing and they were from no place. But they took note that they had been with Jesus. And when people from around the surrounding regions saw God's hand upon the life of Asa, why was God's hand upon the life of Asa? Because he endeavored to keep clean and he continued to seek the Lord and he was able to listen to advice from God when God spoke it. Those are just three reasons. There are others we can unpackage, but just to review those three. And so God was with him. God caused him to prosper. And people realized it. People saw that. They see your life. They see your, well, what does Jesus say? They'll see your good works. And then what will they do? They'll come over from wherever they are and say, we want to be on your side. They'll glorify your Father who is in heaven. They'll come over from where they are to where you are, just like David's men, that first army I talked about the other night. Those guys came out, they were in debt, despondent, and despair, but they wanted to be with David because they recognized something about David that they didn't recognize in King Saul. And so they came out from the regions, rather live with David in the wilderness than to be back home in our more softer environment. Or as Moses put it, I'd rather enjoy affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. They came out and they followed. They assembled at Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year of Asa's reign, so almost 16 years. And at that time, they sacrificed to the Lord all these cattle and animals. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord. What are they doing this stuff? I mean, they never stop. Every other verse has to talk about they seek the Lord. And now they're going to covenant to do this. We promise, we swear before God, we make an oath that we are going to seek the Lord. And they, with all their heart and with all their soul, and I guess we should close with the 13th verse, all who would not seek the Lord God of Israel were to be put to death, whether small or great man or woman. Wow, I wonder if we should do that. Anybody here that doesn't want to enter into the covenant to seek the Lord, go down to the kitchen where they got some long knives. We'll put you to death. Well, that's a little austere. I guess we wouldn't do that today. But I guess they meant business. I guess that's certainly true. Well, and by the way, this wasn't something that Asa mandated for them. This was something they entered into. They entered into a covenant. We will seek the Lord, and if we don't seek the Lord, you can kill us. Because we're not good anywhere. We're just a drag on the rest of the people. If we're not going to seek the Lord, well, we're like a wet blanket that doesn't abet anything. That we're like the division in the body of Christ. We're like the schism, and the life doesn't flow from the lateral roots that are intertwined with one another, from one member of the body to the other. But if the life's not getting through, we better get out of here. We're not useful. As a matter of fact, we're worse than not useful. We're disruptive to the kingdom of God and to the furtherance of his honor and his glory. Asa's a good guy. At this point in the story, I'd like to be like Asa. I would aspire that these things are found in my life and we in all of our lives, that we find ourselves in the story of Asa today. Lord, help us. Help us to keep on keeping on. Help us to get after the weeds. Help us to get after the things that displease you. Help us, Lord, to seek you while you may be found. Help us to be brave men and women that fight on. And Lord, pour out your spirit upon us that enables us to take the kingdom by force. And by God's grace, we will. I think some of you know the chorus. Hold the fort. For I am coming, Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace we will. We better look it up. I just want to sing one verse with you. I don't know what number it is. But let's sing one. I don't know which verse it is either. But we want to dismiss on time. And so I want to push through, but 425 is the number, and the fourth stanza shall we sing. Let's stand as we sing the last verse of 425. Fierce and long the battle rages, but our help is near. Fierce and long the battle rages, but our help is near. Onward comes our great commander, cheer, my comrade, cheer. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Hold still, wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace we will. Now if you're old Ridgewood, let's see, who's old Ridgewood here? Sister Ruth, you must be old Ridgewood. I don't know. Where's Sister Elsie? Brother Paul? Old Ridgewood went home. Sister Sarah, you're old Ridgewood. Yeah, okay. See, she knows already what we need to do. Now, nobody here has a handkerchief. We used to have handkerchiefs. That's another story. I got tissues. Maybe you have one. And what we used to do, Brother Hans used to... we got a handkerchief. Okay, well, follow Sister Maureen's lead. We're going to wave the answer back to heaven. And I don't know why he did this. He'd have everybody take out their dirty hankies and wave them all around. We'd all run for our masks if everybody started waving their dirty handkerchiefs. But maybe you just want to wave your hand. And as our closing prayer, Lord, we're going to hold the fort. We're going to press the battle. And it's by your grace that we're going to do this. And Lord, you can count on us. Not us, but Lord, you in us. You give us the strength. By your grace, we will. So when you wave the answer back to heaven, you all got a left arm or a right arm, so use them. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus.
strength, O Lord. Strength for the battle. Strength for the conflict. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Our help is near. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. By your grace, O Lord, we will. Thank you, Lord. Brother John, please pray with us. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Jesus, Lord, thank you for your word this day. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and your power in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for victory that has been promised to us.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, help us now to walk in you. To walk in the Spirit, O God,
yes,
today.
Lord. Yes,
to live under this anointing,
yes,
God,
Lord.
That you have,
yes,
promised,
Lord,
to seek,
Jesus,
after you, Lord, with all of our
God,
hearts.
Help,
Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness
help
to us.
Yes, Lord.
So through this day, give us a greater
Jesus,
awareness of your presence,
Jesus,
O God.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
help
Jesus,
us, dear Lord, to be very sensitive,
yes,
to your
Jesus,
Spirit at work in us.
Thank
bring
you,
victory, Lord,
Lord,
to us in every way. Lord, you know the needs.
Yes, Lord.
You know the battles that
conquer,
we face,
oh,
each
God,
one. And Lord,
hallelujah,
today we will stand upon your words,
yes,
of truth.
Yes, Lord.
And
yes,
we claim, Lord, the victory that you have
in
promised.
Jesus,
in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Pray with us if you can. Have a wonderful day.